Of the year, we hear many people give holiday greetings. The expression Merry Christmas is quite common. Happy Holidays is quite common. And yet the reality is, if we stop and think about it, in spite of all of the good wishes and in spite of all of the good cheer, tragedy does not take a day off, does it? Today, the crematorium is in business, and families with broken hearts are going with departed loved ones there to say their final goodbyes. Hospitals are in full force. The fact of the matter is, in spite of all the well wishes and in spite of all the good cheer that we would hope that each other would be able to enjoy, the fact remains that we live in a world today, this morning, that is filled with tragedy, even on this Christmas day. And many times as we look around at those who are going through times of heartache and hardship and tragedy, so many times I am tempted to ask the question, and perhaps the same question has come to your mind as well. But many times I'm tempted to ask the question, how can a person face what these people are facing without Jesus Christ? How can they face the heartache? How can they face the fears and all that people are going through? How can they do that without Jesus Christ? Now, I understand today that there are many who have given some very sophisticated attempts to show that statements like ours are not based on reality. For example, there is a German philosopher by the name of Ludwig Feuerbach. He died back in 1872, and he made this statement. He said, God is not a reality outside of us that we should trust and obey. Rather, he is a projection of our own needs onto reality. In other words, according to this intellectual scholar, God did not create man, rather man created God to fill an emptiness, to fill a void, to fill a need in his own heart and in his own life. And so, therefore, man created God. God did not create man. Yet the fact of the matter is, the Bible paints a very different picture, does it not? The Bible paints a very different picture, and it is a picture that comes clearly into focus as we consider the message of Christmas. As we consider the message of Christmas during a time such as this, our hearts should be encouraged by a wonderful reminder that man's needs did not lead his imagination to create a Christmas story. Men did not dream up the story of Jesus Christ. Rather, Jesus Christ, at a certain point in time in history, did come. And he did live, and he did die, in order that he might meet the needs of humanity that had rebelled and sinned against him. That's the story of Christmas. The proof is clearly seen when we consider six biblical testimonies that we find as to why Jesus Christ came into the world. And so I want us to begin this morning by noticing, number one, Jesus Christ came to ransom us. He came to ransom us. Jesus said in Mark chapter 10 and verse number 45, he said, "For the Son of Man is come not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Why did he come? To give himself. Why? That he might ransom us. The word ransom simply speaks of a price that is paid. It is a price that is paid by someone in order that they might liberate the ones they love from bondage and from death. And that's exactly why Jesus Christ came into the world. Let me mention a couple of things here. First of all, notice the people to be ransomed. The people to be ransomed. When God created Adam and Eve back in Genesis chapter 1, the Lord God was their master. But there came a day when Satan came in Genesis chapter 3, and Satan tempted man to ignore God's laws, to ignore God's rule, and to go their own way and to do their own thing. And man foolishly listened to Satan. Man foolishly listened to the temptation that was offered to them to turn against God. And on that terrible day in Genesis chapter 3, we find recorded when man chose to turn their back against God, to choose to follow a new master. Instead of following God, they determined that they would follow the counsel and the advice of Satan. You see, Satan had no power over them until they surrendered themselves to do his will. And when they surrendered to his way, they were caught in a bondage. They were caught in a death that has been inherited by every son of Adam since that day, all the way down to me and to you. That's why the Bible says that by one man sin entered into the world, death by sin. And so death passed on all men because all of us have sinned. Why? Because we inherited a sin nature from Adam. And it goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 3. Goes all the way back. The Bible says that because of Adam's sin, Romans 5:12, because of Adam's sin, this sin nature was passed to us. That's why as a child, I've said this many times, but I'll say it again. As a child, my dad taught me many things. But my dad never set me down and said, "Son, today I'm going to teach you how to lie." I needed no instruction. I was good. Naturally good. I could lie and not even smile, you know. I can still do that sometimes. Sometimes I say things, people look at me kind of funny. They don't know if I'm kidding or if I... No, I'm just lying, okay? That's what it is. I'm just lying. But I was good at it. Nobody had to teach... You know why that was true? Because in my heart, I had a sin nature. And by the way, same thing's true with each one of us. We sin, and we are sinners. Not because of what we do, but because of what we are. You see, what we do simply mirrors what is on the inside of us. And it is because of that sin nature that all of us are under the condemnation of God. But God loves His creation, and God did not desire that we should remain under Satan's control. And so therefore, God determined to pay the ransom for us. And so I want you to notice letter B, the price to be paid. In John chapter 1, in verse number 29, the Bible says that John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." Now for the Jewish mind, that was a very clear thing. That was a very clear thing. The Lamb of God pointed to the altar where the sin offering was brought, and where the sin offering was sacrificed, and where their sins would be covered. Men would place their hands on the head of the lamb, and then they would take that lamb after symbolically transferring their sin to that innocent lamb. They would then take the lamb and they would kill the lamb, and they would shed the blood of the lamb. And it was by the shedding of the blood, it was by the death of the lamb, that the sins of the guilty were covered, and man's relationship with God was restored. And Jesus came, and he was introduced as the Lamb of God, who would not merely cover man's sins like the Old Testament sacrifice, but he would take away man's sins. He would take away their sin. Now please understand, no angel could redeem men, because angels are different from men. No angel could do that. And no man could redeem men, because no matter how good a man may be, all men as children of Adam are by nature sinners. And therefore it is impossible for one sinner to die for the sin of another sinner. The sinner must die for his own sin. And so therefore no angel could redeem man, no man could redeem men, and so therefore the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 14, we find a very profound statement. Here's what it says: "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also," talking about Jesus Christ, "because you and I inherit a human nature, flesh and blood, from our earthly fathers, he also," Jesus Christ, "he also himself likewise took part of the same." What does that mean? He became flesh and blood, just like us. He became flesh and blood. Why? "That through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil." In other words, Jesus Christ came and he became into this world in the form of a human flesh in order that he might die, and by his death he might provide a ransom that would free all of those who put their faith and trust in him from the powers of darkness and from the eternal death that reigns over them. And so Jesus Christ came into the world that he might die on the cross to redeem sinful men from the chains and from the bondage and from the death that sin naturally brings upon all men. But that's not all. He did not come merely to ransom us. For had he only come to ransom us and there was nothing else, it would really not do us a whole lot of good, because we wouldn't know about it. We wouldn't know about it. And so the Bible says, number two, he came to call us. He came to call us. The Bible says, you see, that even though the price of the ransom was paid, God does not kidnap men against their will. Rather, he calls them in loving kindness. Jesus said in Luke 5, verse 31 and verse 32, "They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." He came to call us, and today he is still calling sinners to repent. Through the ministry of the Holy Spirit and through the preaching of the Word of God, God today still calls for men to turn from their sin and to put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, that they might receive that wonderful gift of salvation that was provided for us on the cross of Calvary. That's why the Apostle Paul said in Hebrews 4 and verse number 7, "Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart." Harden not your heart. The reason why he calls us, the reason why he calls us, is the third thing that we find, and that is because he came to save us. He came to save us. We've already seen in Romans 5:12 how that all men naturally received a sin nature when they were born into this world through Adam's race. But as a result of that sin nature, all of us are in fact sinners in the eyes of God. The Bible makes it very clear, because of our sins, we are under the condemnation of a holy God. The Apostle Paul put it this way in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. He said, "The wages of sin is death." The wages of sin is death. However, in the Word of God, we find a most precious statement. In the book of 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 9, the Bible says that the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It is not the will of God for any person to die in their sin and go to hell. That is not God's will. God is not willing that any should perish. God's will is that all men might be saved, that all men might be forgiven and cleansed of their sin by repenting and putting their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And therefore, in order that men might be saved, in order that the ransom might be paid, in order that the call might be given, God sent His Son into the world to save us. Sent His Son into the world to save us. That's why Jesus said in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Came to seek and to save. But how is this salvation received? How do we receive this salvation? And what is the result of it? Well, I want you to notice a fourth thing, and that is this. He came to enlighten us. He came to enlighten us. The Bible says in John chapter 12 and verse number 46, Jesus made the statement, "I am come a light into the world." I am come a light into the world. And there are two things that Jesus came to reveal to a world that is filled with spiritual darkness. Two things that Jesus came to reveal. First of all, He came to reveal the light of salvation. The light of salvation. In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3 and 4, the Apostle Paul said this. He said, "If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost." And notice why it is hid to them. Notice why they cannot see it. They cannot understand it. They cannot fathom it. They cannot, because of the fact that the God of this world has blinded their minds. That's Satan. The reason men cannot see the light of the gospel of Christ is because the God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. But Jesus Christ came into the world so that we might have light. Jesus Christ came into the world so that we might see the truth concerning God, and that we might see the truth concerning ourselves, and so that we might see the truth concerning salvation. Christ came that we might have light. Notice what He says in John chapter 3, verse 17 and verse number 18. The Bible says, "God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And then he goes on talking about how that he has come to be light, but they hate the light because their deeds are evil. And they refuse to come to the light because of their wickedness and their sin and their rebellion against God. Jesus Christ came to show us how that everyone who puts their faith and trust in Him can be saved from the penalty of their sin, to be saved from an eternal separation from God in that terrible place called hell. Jesus came that we might have the light of salvation, but He also came that we might have the light of maturity. The light of maturity. In John 12 and verse 46, Jesus said, "I am come a light into the world, and whosoever believeth in me should not abide." That word abide simply means to continually dwell or to continually walk in darkness. Christ came to be a light. Certainly it is a great joy to win people to Jesus Christ, but there's also a great joy that comes from watching them as they mature in the faith and as they grow. In the beginning, a new believer will not understand many things out of the Word of God. But it is exciting to watch how that is God's Word begins to work in their hearts. Like a light that is turned on, they begin to see and they begin to understand things that they had never seen before, because they're learning to see things in God's light. They're learning to see things from God's perspective. That's why Jesus came. That's why Jesus came. So that we do not have to wander through this life in darkness. We do not have to wander through this life in uncertainty. We can have light. We can have understanding. We can see things not through the eyes of the world's wisdom, but we can see things in the light of God's truth. He came that we might have light. We might be able to see. But I want you to notice another thing, and that is this. He came to divide us. He came to divide us. Remember in 2 Corinthians 5:17, the Apostle Paul said, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." In other words, when we receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, there is a transformation that takes place in our heart and in our life. We begin to see things differently. We begin to have different priorities. We begin to view things in a different way from those who are around us. And as we begin to grow in our faith, the difference between us and the unsaved world around us is going to become more and more pronounced, and it becomes more and more obvious. And when that great difference that God has made in our lives becomes evidence to those that we love most, when it becomes evidence to our families and to our friends and to our colleagues, when they begin to see the difference that Christ has made in our lives, that will create attention. It will create attention. That's why Jesus made a very startling statement. Listen to it in Matthew chapter 10, verse 34 and verse number 35. The Lord Jesus said this. He said, "Think not that I am come to send peace on earth." Boy, that just blew that Christmas carol all to pieces, didn't it? That just shot that Christmas carol right in the foot. Talking about peace on earth, goodwill to man. Yeah, Jesus said, "Forget it. That's not why I came. I didn't come to bring peace. I didn't come to bring peace. Rather, I came to bring a sword." didn't come to bring peace, but a sword. Here's why. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against the mother-in-law, and on it goes. You see, here's the point. When we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, there will be a natural division between the religious and the redeemed. There's a big difference. There will be a division between those who are trying to do good and those who are justified in the sight of God through faith in Jesus Christ. There's a big difference. Christ said, I've come to divide. I've come to divide. But then I want you to notice lastly, I want you to notice that he came to comfort us. He came to comfort us. In Romans chapter 8, verse 37 and verse down to verse number 39, Paul said this. He said, in all these things we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. If you go back and you read the previous verses and you see the context here, you'll see that Paul is outlining a list of difficulties and problems and trials and heartaches that are common to all men. And he says that in all these things, we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. And then he says why we have that confidence. For I am persuaded, Paul said, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. God sent his Son. And no matter what may happen to us during this lifetime, if we have truly trusted in him, we can face it with confidence. Because there is nothing in heaven, nothing in hell beneath, and nothing on this earth that can separate us from that relationship that we have with God through faith in Jesus Christ. And ultimately, it all leads to that blessed hope that Paul refers to in Titus chapter 2 and verse number 13. Looking for that blessed hope, which is the glorious appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. When he who came to be born in a manger, that he might save us, will come again as a king to rule and to reign over us, that we might be able to be with him forever. What a wonderful truth. What a wonderful truth that we find that on that wonderful Christmas Eve, when Jesus Christ, the holy, sinless Son of God, came to a wicked and sinful world, he came with a grand and a glorious purpose. He came so that we might have assurance of a right relationship with God. Not through our own goodness, not through anything that we are able to do, but simply through what Christ did for us on the cross of Calvary. He came in order that we might have a wonderful hope of eternal life, that we might have the promise of a glorious home in heaven. And so that we, as we go through this life and through this valley of tears and heartaches and tragedies and disappointments and fears and all that we face in life today, we can go through it with confidence. We can go through it with certainty, knowing that he is the Savior. He is the Savior, and nothing can separate us from him. My question to you this morning is not, do you know about Christmas? My question is, do you know the person of Christmas? Not just up here, but do you know him in your heart? Has there been a time when you have personally recognized your sinful condition and understood that there is nothing that you can do in your own strength and in your own merit to earn God's favor? And there has been a time when you have humbled yourself, confessing your sin, and asking Jesus Christ to do for you what you cannot do for yourself. And you've put your faith and trust in Him to be your Savior. Let me say to you this morning, that's why He came. That's why 2,000 years ago, God became flesh and dwelt among us so that He might redeem us and save us and enlighten us and give us a blessed hope that this world will never be able to understand without Him. May it be true in each heart and in each life this morning.